Very good morning to all of you. Wow, that's loud. Bring that down a little bit. Good morning. I'm very happy to be here. Glad to see all the faces I see out here. And it's been a little bit of a tough week. Haven't been actually what I would call sick, just kind of tired. And it was so interesting because so often whenever you prepare a lesson and you plan to stand up and speak to a bunch of people, you start flipping through the pages of the Bible and find out that you're talking to yourself. And so this week was no exception. I was talking to myself as we've been talking about being spiritually healthy. And I was thinking, what's the one thing I need to do? And it was so funny. I didn't even get a chance to get up here and share because Curtis kind of blasted me out in the middle of Sunday school. He says, so about your trainer and what he said about you and what you need to be doing, right? Because I was telling my mentor, bodybuilder, Box, we called him, Jeff Long. He used to tell me, he said, you don't eat enough. It's not that you eat bad, you just don't eat enough. What is with you not eating enough, right? And that got me to thinking about healthy food choices, right? Think about healthy food choices. And so I asked, can you remember the last thing that you ate? Some of you said, mm-hmm. Some of you, like, I have to think back to yesterday because some of you missed breakfast, you know? When we think about what it is we eat and our eating patterns and our eating habits, sometimes we take it for granted, especially in a country where there's food readily available at all times, really. We can kind of take for granted that there are parts of the world where they can't just go down the street here and say, oh, well, you know, I don't really want Burger King. I'll go to Wendy's or I'll just go to the Redners and I'll get some. They don't have these choices. Not only do they not have the choices, some of them go long periods of time without being able to eat because the food's not really available. And so I want us to keep that in the back of your mind as we go through these next handful of minutes, these next handful of scriptures, and talk about spiritually what it means to make healthy food choices. The title of the sermon today is You Are What You Eat. I believe I've used this title before. If I haven't, then it's okay, because this is totally different and original from anything you've heard before. When we think about you are what you eat, there are different ideas that people have about where the statement originates from. One of the people who kind of made it famous in our cultures is Victor Lindlar. And in the 20s and 30s, he talked about diet and disease, and he talked about how, and this was one of the quotes that he gave, he said, 90% of the diseases known to man are caused by cheap food stuff. I like how he says food stuff, right? Like he didn't even want to call it really food. He says, you are what you eat. And then this is in French. If anybody wants to help, feel free. I'm not even going to try to read it. I'm going to read the interpreted version. It says, tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what you are. And this goes back to 1826. This guy who, if anybody in here is familiar with some of these different diets, the paleo diet, anybody ever tried that before? No? Okay. Well, anyway, this guy was one of the originals who came up with this diet to basically rid people of a lot of the things that come from carbs and things like that. And then this, You Are What You Eat, this is a book. And this person is a doctor named Dr. Jillian McKeith. It's cookbooks, a bunch of different ways in which you can prepare foods that are healthy alternatives to things that we eat all the time, right? And so this is the paper back version. But when you think about you are what you eat, I want to go to a particular passage in Matthew chapter 4, where it says, starting in verse 1, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, when we read this, it's important. Just I read this for the purpose of context, to understand that the parallel that we see is that just like we have a body that we need the sugar, we need the carbs, we need the proteins, we need these different things that we find in food, and that's why we eat it. That's why we consume it, so that we can grow, so we can develop, so that we can function and live. And Jesus, and in many other places, you see this parallel where the food that we eat is compared to the Word of God. It's compared to reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and allowing ourselves to take in things for our spirit. It's not a body thing, it's a spirit thing, right? And so when we read this, I want us to keep this in mind, because the question is, what are we actually hungry for? You know, sometimes your body will trigger certain responses. You'll have maybe a headache. I had a very good friend of mine, actually, she used to work for me. Her name is Aisha. She was talking about how she decided to go like cold turkey, just decided, I'm just not going to eat any more sugar. Anybody ever tried that? Yeah, it was the worst, right? You get that headache. And for a while, she couldn't understand what was going on with her. She's like, what is it? I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. And she said she got like a Hershey's Kiss. She ate this little Hershey's Kiss, and all of a sudden, the headache went away. See, sometimes I use that example because sometimes we don't always necessarily know what we're hungry for. We're not aware of what it is that we're craving spiritually, what it is we're lacking spiritually. Just like if a person was lacking calcium, you know, their bones would have some problems. Or if they were lacking protein, they would, they'd have some muscle atrophy. There's all these things. What actually are you craving spiritually? What is it that you're needing spiritually? Now, this is a lady. She's obviously making the contrast between the healthy food choices, all the vegetables and the fruits and the grains and all those kinds of things, and the processed food, the fast food, right? We see this all the time. You know, anytime we go to the grocery store, we see this. Even McDonald's eventually had to cave and start putting healthy menu, or what they call healthy menu options, because for so long they were failing. This is actually a documentary series. I believe it's on Netflix. It's called Food Choices. And it talks about what it is that people crave and why it is they go after certain foods, how we're programmed. But what really got this whole food choices thing in the fast food industry started was because of this dude. This guy's last name is Spurlock, right? And he came out and decided, basically he filmed himself. There's a movie, it's called Super Size Me. Some of you probably have seen it. And he came out, he basically decided for 30 days, he's gonna pick something off of the McDonald's menu and see what would happen to his health. Now, he went in before this and decided to get a checkup from his doctor, everything. He was healthy, he was, you know, pretty good. He wanted to see what would happen to him if he ate junk food from McDonald's for 30 days. And the results were terrible. I won't spoil it if you haven't seen it. Let me just say it was worse than I thought, okay? Not only the physical problems that manifested themselves, pain, his weight, all those types of things, but also the things that were happening to him mentally, and frankly, just getting sick, because he wasn't getting enough of what he needed for his body. I want us to look over in Daniel chapter 1, and I want us to see an example of how important it is that we consider what we take in. Starting in verse 3, it says, then the king ordered Aspenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some of Judah, some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Now we see this, and again, I'm not trying to convince anybody to go on a diet. I'm not telling you to only eat vegetables. I'm pointing out something that's very, very important here for all of us to consider, and that is, it matters what you consume. It matters what you take into your body. That's what we saw if you watch the documentary Super Size Me. It matters that you take in junk food. It is, food is not just food. It's not just, well, here. Everybody in here has a different diet, right? There are certain people when they're babies. We talked about this earlier in Sunday school. Some people who are babies, they have certain needs and certain things they have to have in their diet, but once they get older, you don't have it anymore. Or there are certain things that me, at 42 years old, I may not necessarily eat, but when I'm 62 or 72, the doctor will put me on some type of supplement, tell me I need to eat more or less of something. Anybody in here who understands diabetes, you know that, yes, I see hands. You know that your body has changed. And so sometimes your diet can change, right? But what we see here is that what you take in to your system matters. Now, going back to what we were just talking about the word and hearing the word and what we take in as our sustenance spiritually, it's important where we get it from. It's important that we know who processed it, who made it. Where was it grown? And the same thing applies to us spiritually. Now, it would be easy at this juncture of the sermon to say, well, yeah, this is why you need to listen to me, or you need to listen to us, you need to come to this, or you need to hear. But it's not just a matter of, well, I heard somebody preaching, or I heard a lesson, or I heard somebody who was giving me some spiritual advice or pointing out a particular passage of scripture. But also, think about the other things that we take into our system. See, it's not just food that we would take in, right, in our own bodies. You know, we've seen people who, they may eat perfectly healthy, but if they take drugs, it will affect their system. If you drink too much alcohol, if you smoke, if you do any of these things, it will affect your system. If people live in an environment where the water, they're getting water, it's H2O, chemical, but there's other things binding to it because it's near an impure source, maybe a well that's been, you know, made toxic, or they're near some chemical plant where they're wasting back into the water system. See, what you take into your spirit matters too. So it's not just, well, hey, I came to church on Sunday, or I came to Bible study, or I've been reading through this series of studies, but what type of music do you listen to? What do you watch on TV? Who are you, it may be in your circle of family and friends, who are you allowing to put into your spirit? How carefully do we actually watch our diet? It's so very important that we consider this when we think about being healthy spiritually, because a lot of times you can be eating the right thing and drinking the right thing and taking care to consume the right things into your spirit, but then the effects of it get negated because you go out and you take in other things. What we see here in the example of Daniel and these other three men is that they were very careful to make sure that they knew where their food source was coming from. They made sure to know that I'm not just going to listen to everybody. There's plenty of people out here who say they know who God is, and this will get you, you know, to be like Jesus. But what did it say? Consider the appearance of us after just 10 days. It said they were more healthy. They were more radiant. They were shining. They looked different. They looked different than the others. And this wasn't just a, you know, pride thing where they were trying to compare themselves to other people. But it's important that we understand that if a person is consuming the right things spiritually, it will show. You may not know exactly what it is. Is it, okay, he's getting more vitamin D than me or whatever it is. But you will know that there is something about you from just your outward appearance. But it's not just about outward appearance. And even as we think about outward appearance, we talked a little bit about this. This baby is clearly trusting that whoever's hand that is giving, he doesn't care. He's just hungry. We see this with babies all the time, right? We talked about this. Like, this is what happens when you finally let the baby decide, you know what, you're going to feed yourself. And then sometimes they don't want to eat it, and so you got this. This is Kendall, or somebody like Kendall, rather, because she doesn't, even though she feeds herself now, she still doesn't want to eat what's right. And we see the progression there, right? Now the baby's holding their own bottle. This is what we want, right? At some point, you want the baby to hold their own bottle. And then they get their own utensils. They got their own little snack plate or something. They even get the little placemats out there. You know, eventually at some point, they can prepare their own food. This is the natural progression, right? This is what you want your children to eventually do. You would be very disappointed, some of you who have grown sons and daughters, if you saw them and they were still eating baby food and drinking formula. You say, what is wrong with you? I trained you better than that. At some point, you should be able to feed yourself and cook for yourself. Now, this guy right here, though, his name is Stanley Thornton. This is Stanley Thornton. He is 31 years old. Stanley Thornton lives the life of a baby. He lives the life of a baby. Clearly, his mother is complicit in this because she does stuff. See, he's got on his feety pajamas. He's got on his big, gigantic bib, and she's feeding him. And we look at this and we think, what is wrong with Stanley? You are 31 years old. He would have to starve in my house, but clearly his mother thinks, there's no way I'm feeding. I have a hard time, like, with Kendall and William, and they're little kids. There's no way I'm going to feed a 31-year-old man, right? But when we think about it, spiritually, when it comes to our food choices, our health choices, our diet choices, the decisions that we make, are we any different than Stanley? Because we'd like to believe so, but I want us to consider this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Now I want to pause right there because it says, you know, there's jealousy and quarreling among you. See, these are outward signs of the fact that you're just not eating well. You're not taking the right things into your spirit. You're actually, as he's saying here, quite immature. He says, are you not acting like mere humans? Well, what am I supposed to act like? I'm a human being, right? But when you're godly, When you're a spiritual person who is spiritually mature, you're not to be just a mere human. So we'll come back to that. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. And the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on the foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. This passage of Scripture squarely puts the responsibility of building, of developing a healthy diet, spiritually, if you will, it puts the responsibility on us to say, at what point are you going to be able to do this on your own? At what point do you grow? Just like we looked at Mr. Thornton there being fed by his mom, he's saying, you all haven't even developed to the point where I can even give you solid food, let alone you can build and take care of and maintain this temple. We have to ask ourselves, is our palate mature enough for our body? And when I talk about the palate, I'm talking about, do we just come here? And this is not something where, you know, like show of hands, you have to tell me. But ask yourself, how often do you eat? Can you prepare spiritual food for yourself? If you see somebody else who's hungry, someone else who is spiritually struggling, we've been talking about this, about teaching, being able to teach the word of God to others. See, I can actually go get some groceries, cook it. Harold and I had fun with this at Luther Tower sometime back. I thought I was going to do it. He said no. I mean, Harold got in there, and I mean, he scrambled eggs, and it was to the point where it was in the afternoon. Breakfast was over. They wanted more eggs. See, he could prepare this food, not only so that he could eat and survive, but also so that the others would get something out of it. Are we spiritually capable? Are we still waiting on Sunday to be spiritually fed? I remember hearing people complain, I feel like I come to church on Sunday and I'm just not getting spiritually fed. I'm not moved. I feel like I'm not getting any sustenance. But did you actually come here to eat? Or did you come here to serve? Well, if you've been eating at home, if you ate breakfast before you got here, that's why I asked. See, I had a reason for that. I asked, do you remember the last thing you ate? Because if you ate breakfast this morning, you might be getting hungry. I'll be brief. But you're not that hungry, right? Because you ate something. See, we have to ask ourselves, at what point are we mature enough that we can actually feed ourselves, that we can actually feed others? Are we mature enough spiritually, or are we still holding on to baby food? Are we still holding on to those basic principles, and we haven't gone any further? And what does that look like? Because just like we can look at the image of Stanley Thornton and say, you're 31 years old. You are far too old for somebody to be feeding you like a baby. Spiritually, there may be some of us in here right now who we are far too old to be as immature spiritually as we are. And we have to say, well, what does that mean? What do I need to change about my diet? What do I need to change about how it is I'm consuming the Word of God? What is it that I need to get rid of? What is it that I need to get rid of in my life so that I can be able to absorb the things that I'm taking in? And so as we consider what it means to be spiritually healthy, and because of time, there's part two of this coming next week. Stay tuned. But I want us to look at a few questions and consider this as we consider and look at our spiritual development and our growth. First one, am I discerning enough about what I allow myself to consume spiritually? Do I have a meal plan in place? Do I have a dietitian? A dietitian, those are people who actually come up with these meal plans. They come up with the diets. They actually figure out where you are health-wise, and they'll say, hey, you need to eat more this. You need to eat less of that. You know, we talked about that last week, about having a trainer, having someone who's going to pour into your life, someone who's going to help you. Are we humble enough to say, you know what? I'm never going to lose this 30 pounds. I'm never going to get rid of this thing. I'm never going to get stronger until I change something about what I'm consuming, until I change some of those friends and relationships, until I get rid of those influences that are distracting me and taking away from me. Until I decide it's not good enough to just show up to church on Sunday, but I've got to be filling my spirit and keeping my spirit fed all the time, throughout the week, every day. You don't just eat once a day, right? Not most of us, unless it's by choice. Many of us, we eat 3-4 meals a day. I know whenever I'm training, if you're doing, anybody ever done any like fitness training or bodybuilding, you eat small portions a day and you eat like 6 to 8 times a day. You have to constantly tell your body that it's getting what it needs. Do we have a diet plan spiritually? Do you have one? Can I grow into the man or woman that God wants me to be on what I'm currently consuming spiritually? Do I have bad eating habits? This is where we have to really ask ourselves, if I continue doing what I'm doing, am I ever going to grow spiritually? Am I ever going to be stronger spiritually than I am right now? Or will I just basically, have I plateaued? Am I just going to maintain where I am? Or in fact, in some cases, am I going to die because I'm not getting enough? Am I inviting diseases and problems into my spiritual walk? And we're going to talk about some of those diseases next week. But am I doing this to myself because I'm just not eating enough? I'm just not going to the Word enough. I'm just not spending enough time with God. Can I feed myself and others spiritually? Am I capable of feeding others? Am I mature enough to prepare spiritual meals for myself and others, or am I solely dependent on fast food to survive? It's kind of like if you just say, well, you know what? We had a great potluck last Sunday, right after church. Well, if that's all the food you've had since the last time I saw you, how are you ever going to survive? Not only how are you going to survive, but what about those around you who may need some spiritual nourishment themselves? How can you possibly give them anything if you don't have anything to give? Because you yourself are not taking in. I remember her name is Dr. Stewart. She was the pediatrician who was taking care of William when he was first born. This was down in Atlanta. And Dr. Stewart, because my wife, she just doesn't, for whatever reason, she just doesn't like breakfast. It's just not her favorite meal. Me, I'm all for it. If anybody wants to come over, bring it, leave it at the door, I'll get it. I love breakfast, right? The thing is, she would not eat breakfast. And she felt it because William was no longer nursing. She was kind of like, well, I, you know, I'll eat when I get around to it. And Dr. Stewart said, you cannot be the best mom for your children if you're not taking care of yourself first. Yes, we all want to sacrifice for our children, and we want to sacrifice for our spouses and families, and we want to be sacrificial, and Jesus was sacrificial when he died on the cross and all those things. But Jesus, as we just read, Jesus went to God. He went and got his nourishment. Are you going to God so that you can then be of service to others? Because sometimes it's not just about you. Sometimes it's about, can you even serve others? You know, I was grateful for the example that Steve has been talking. On Wednesday, we have our prayer requests we take in. He's been talking about his friend at work. His name is Bob. And we've been praying for Bob because Bob's been going through it. Now, the thing about it is, if Steve himself is spiritually not taking care of Steve, if Janet's not helping to take care of Steve, then what happens to Bob? How does Bob get the presence of the church? How does he get us to intercede on his behalf? How does Steve encourage him? How does he know, okay, how can I build him up? How can I point him in the right direction? How can any of that happen if Steve himself won't eat? And then Steve himself is sick. And then spiritually, he's not able. He's limited. Well, then what happens to Bob? See, everybody in here has a Bob. It may not be the exact same thing. It may not be the exact same situation as Bob. But everybody has something. Everybody has somebody who you could be helping them. You could be feeding them. You could be sharing. But you yourself aren't taking in enough. That was the part where I was personally convicted, because I do that too. And then finally, am I eating based on culture and traditions, or based on what's most healthy for my spiritual health? Now, I bring this up because a lot of times I've heard this, and we're going to get into this next week, but you hear this thing where it's like, hey, we eat, and this is my family, right? I remember the first time I saw pig feet on a plate, and I said no. Now, I was probably 4, okay? And they were like, no, but I cook it different than, grandma made it and great-grandma made it. And I was like, I don't care how you make it. Does it really make a difference how you put it on the plate or what garnishments you put on? I'm not eating pig feet. Well, but this is part of your heritage. This is part of, a part of your culture. This is how we all was raised. And I said, it's time for something new, because I'm not eating it. There are so many things that we get inundated with, that we are surrounded by, and we just take it. We're not judicious at all. We're not discerning at all. Are we willing to be discerning and say, you know what? I understand that this is how we've always done it. I understand that if it's reading the Bible, when I was in college, I used to always like take early classes. My first class would be like a 7 o'clock or an 8 o'clock. I would get up at like 6 o'clock, and I read my Bible, I pray. That doesn't work now, okay? Because I need that extra few minutes for the kids. Kids just thinking about them right now, I got sleepy, Like I just got a little bit more tired, right? But what's crazy is once I drop them off to school, and then I go to the gym myself about 8:30, when I get back, it's usually about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I'm in a place where I can then focus on the Word of God. I'm in a place where I can pray. Even if it's just a half hour, I'm in that place where I can take something in. Just like your diet changes sometimes because your body changes, because you get older or you get pregnant. My wife, she had gestational diabetes at one point. See, your body goes through these changes. Are we stuck in a place where I can only eat this because this is the way I've always eaten it? I've only consumed it because this is the way I've always consumed it? Or am I willing to say, I've got to do what's healthy? I got to do what's best for me spiritually to grow. How many of us are making those decisions and those spiritual choices when it comes to the things that we take in to our system? How many of us, in an honest moment, we don't know? like that dietitian, we just don't know. We need somebody to instruct us. We need somebody to tell us, give us some pointers, give us some direction on how to consume things that are going to gratify and grow and develop our spirit. If you're in that place, I ask you to come forward so that you can get some direction. There are many of us who can help in that effort. We want you to come forward when we, in a minute here when we sing our song of invitation, so that you cannot just eat and just survive, that you can't just keep your heart beating, but that you can actually be healthy spiritually. If you're a person who you know what you need to do, you know what it takes, but you haven't been doing it and you just want the prayers of the church, you need the help, I ask you to come forward as well as we sing our song of invitation, because nobody with all the food choices that we have spiritually, with all the variety that there is, nobody should be living on an unhealthy diet by choice. We have to make that determination. We have to go get that bread. We have to go get those things that are going to be healthy for us so that we can continue to grow and help others to grow as well. If you'd like to come forward now, please come forward as we stand and sing our song of invitation.